Hello and welcome to I Spit on Your Grades, the Fright Fest 2023 edition. Sorry, we've been away again. I keep apologizing, but I don't keep changing anything, you know. It's like my diet over the last 25 years. This is Faye. Hi, if you've forgotten who I am, I'm here with Christopher
Welcome. Hello.
and Mercer.
Hello.
How are we all on this warm September evening?
Warm, Kent. Warm and tired.
September.
You're in London though, so surely the temperatures are racked.
God, not even gonna lie. I felt like crying today. Like 28, 29, but there's no breeze. Sound like one of them stupid videos you see on TikTok, you know, like people taking piss out of British dealing with weather. It's literally what it's like though. And it was my first day back at work after having 2 weeks off. I was hot. I was sweater. I was not in the mood for anything.
I was going to send you a fan at some point over the summer because you were complaining how hot it was. And Chris went, "No, don't send him one. He's not worth it. He don't deserve a
Oh,
breeze."
I don't think
Well,
that's something that happened.
I don't know if anyone will, I don't know if the recording will pick this up, but I have a thwart fan.
I kind of heard it.
I'll do it again. I will do it again with more gusto.
No, I heard
Thank
nothing
you.
that time.
Motherfucker. Did you not?
No.
Really?
Really?
Well, I'm just going to insert it everywhere from now on.
Insert
That's what
it.
she said.
I think you'll find it, that's what they said, Chris.
Anyway. Aside from being all warm, are we all okay?
All good, yeah. Nothing
No,
new enough.
been shook down with some mystery viral ailment since come back from Fright Fest.
Not gonna lie, I have been so jealous watching everyone talk about how ill they are, thinking, why can't I have this? Why has this not come to me so that I can like just take another week off work because I've got an undefined illness?
I think it's a given that if you are like over the age of 35, if you're ill, you have to attempt to go into the office or attempt to work. It shouldn't be like that, but I think it's just a given. So since coming back from Fright Fest, I have struggled with horrible stomach pains and now a head cold, it would seem.
Likewise. Not good. Not good at all.
Who can we blame for spreading this? Who do we think was patient zero?
Steve Kerr.
Nah. Nick,
Nick was patient
yes.
with it, though.
We're going to find you, Nick. Going to find you and get you. I mean, finding and getting are the same thing. I'm not sure what we're going to do once we get there, but, you know, we'll do something.
I mean, I know where they are. They're right here.
Now you big gobs got you.
You lead me to Nick. You lead me to him. I'll show him. I'll show him good. I won't. I love Nick, so I'm not gonna do anything. Anyway, what the hell are we on about? Listen, we've not recorded in so long that we're just fannying around right now.
We don't have to do it anymore. What are we here for? What are we here for?
We are here for the Fright Fest 2023 top five things.
Top five. No, the top five films. The popcorn I bought this year was really good. Didn't get any ice cream. Still can't believe did not get any ice cream at any point over the
Pepsi
weekend.
Max Cherry was bang on. No, our top five picks from the festival. I mean, we haven't actually discussed whether there's a crossover. We've just got into this blind and chaotic like we always do because it wouldn't be otherwise, would it? I've got my top five.
Let's just go through each from five to one. So you give us your fifth, your number five.
Okay. My number five this year was Good Boy.
What do you want from us there?
Sound of a lot of people going, it was all right.
No, the thing is with this year, it didn't feel like there was anything apart from my top spot, anything that was absolutely massive, but everything was of, like you said before, a consistent quality.
Yeah, I think this year was, I was just saying earlier that normally my Fright Fest for me, we end up with like maybe four or five like instant top five films that like blow you away, but then maybe like 5 to 10 absolutely pieces of trash, and then everything else is just like, oh, it's okay. Whereas this year we're like, oh, like everything's good. There were only like a couple of films I didn't enjoy, but everything else was of a really good standard. But there was nothing that like slapped me across the face or ripped my dick off and raped me with it. Do you know what I mean? It was just standard stuff.
There was only one I can think of that I really didn't enjoy. I don't want to say which one it is, because you know, even then the filmmakers were trying, but it wasn't particularly good.
It might be in one of our top fives.
It definitely won't be.
You'd be surprised.
I know. If it is, I've got to question some friendships, some relationships, if it is. But yeah, Good Boy, a highly anticipated film of the weekend, so much so that Chris and I did something we've never done before, I don't think.
Killed a homo.
We did that, yes. But also, we purchased a ticket for Good Boy because we didn't want to miss out. And it wasn't as extreme as I thought it was going to be, I'll say that. However, I think it's still quite unsettling. And I think the more times you watch it, you're going to get a lot more from it.
Do you want to give people maybe just a general brief synopsis of what Good Boy is?
Sure. I'm sorry, I didn't realise it was my job to do that. So Good Boy is this girl who meets this guy on a dating app who turns out to be like a multimillionaire. He starts love bombing her and they end up hanging out and going away for the weekend. But the weird thing is that this guy owns a guy who likes to be referred to as a dog, and who lives like a dog, dresses like a dog, eats like a dog, goes for walks like a dog. And when you first start watching it, it's kind of sweet because there's a lot of acceptance there. And it's really nice to see a film going in, we are that much of a judgment on it and go, all right, this isn't hurting anyone, so we're going to continue. But then obviously it turns. I won't say what the turn is, but it does turn. And yeah, great idea. Brilliant like, idea for a film.
Like you say, though, it doesn't go, I was expecting something much more twisted and darker than what we got from it.
Mm.
So I came out because I was expecting that turn and that big descent into something truly fucked up. I was disappointed when it didn't go that far.
I wonder what this says about us, though, because coming out of Good Boy and talking to other people, they were very much put about by the ending. I think I kind of saw that ending coming myself, just from things that had happened earlier. But a lot of people that ending stuck with them hard.
I thought Good Boy was good, you know, really competently made, really well acted, nice story, everything was done really well. It just, like Chris said, it could have, like, I don't know, it could have, like, excisioned me or, you know, kidnapped me, you know, give me something right at the end that just literally made me feel like someone's, like, proper punched me in my stomach and left me, like, wounded. But it didn't. It just kind of, like, give me a little slap across the face and then went, yeah, you're all right.
But again, I do bring this back to what does say about us as horror film watchers, that we want that. Do you know what I mean? I think we've said this before, expectations sometimes when you put it against the reality, it is on the expectant party rather than the people delivering.
Yeah, that still doesn't mean you can't be disappointed.
Of course, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that for me, that's why it's in my top five, because I really love the story of it and I love the idea of it. And again, how it plays out, and especially that first turn, kind of, you said you saw that coming. I didn't see that coming. I was like, whoa, hang on.
I think the real reason that's a five is because she wants to appear as normal as possible to other people. So she needs to, like, oh god, I'm super shocked by this. They were crazy. But no, it's a good film. I applaud you, Faye, for
Why
your
are we attacking me? What are we attacking?
You're not attacking me.
No, him.
Oh god.
But anyway.
What's your number five then, Mercer? Right, let's pile on.
So my number five, and this probably won't be a shock actually to anyone who knows me, but my number five is the Liz Hurley vehicle Piper, which I thought was fucking insanely fantastic.
I can't say anything. I chose to have a lie-in. I can't say anything, I'm afraid.
It's a film that I think will only really work with an audience. Even if you got a load of mates round watching it at home, I think it demands to be seen with a crowd. It's never good enough for me to ever go back and rewatch it. So I'm not sure how it'll play out. When it comes out, I might just leave you alone with it.
Okay.
And you can sit down and watch it and let me know. Because I don't think it'll work anywhere near as well just sitting and watching on your own as we'll do a crowd.
I'll just get myself drunk.
I weren't drunk. It was 10:45 in the morning.
You don't need to be drunk
for it. No, I weren't actually. It was the... Oh, no, I might have been really hungover, though. That might be what impacted this. But... I mean, the reality for me is, yes, it worked really well with the crowd. I for sure am going to be watching that again on my own. And I for sure, you know, I will champion this film because I think it's fantastic. It's basically Liz Hurley, very British Liz Hurley, moving from America to Germany with her daughter, who's very American, because she got a new job as a teacher in a school. And let me tell you, she will spend several times telling people she is a teacher. When she corrects their English in Germany. I'm a teacher, you know. It's the story of the Pied Piper of Hamelin. And he comes and he steals the children when something bad's happened and people haven't repented. And he's come for Liz Hurley's daughter. All I can say is any film that has a gypsy, a Romany gypsy played by an Irish, Welsh, Scottish crossbreed, I don't know what he were, was perpetually on a horse.
Who's supposed to be 19 but looks 40?
19 looks 40. Any film that has Liz Hurley running around a kitchen with a pan or a sweeping brush attacking CGI rats to what could only be described as like a Mario-esque theme tune in the background. Yeah? Liz Hurley doing what looks like a run walk on a treadmill for no reason at all when she's running away from a run walk. Do you know like when you're like, you're trying to get to the bus but you don't want to run because you're embarrassed, so you just walk really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your hips are going left to right, but you're not really getting anywhere. Well, that's what she does when she's running away in this film.
Okay.
Looks like she stood still as well. At the same time, it's crazy. And a film that has a bloody flute off. A flute off.
Freddie Flute Off.
Freddie Flute Off. How can you not love that? Piper was absolutely genius. And I walked out of that cinema absolutely buzzing after I watched that. And it was the only film of the weekend that I went, I do not. I could not. I don't even want to bear witnessing this monstrosity. And I am so glad that I got myself out of bed on the Sunday morning and made my way to the cinema.
Because there was a good crowd there for it on that Sunday morning as well.
It was rammed for a Sunday morning Liz Hurley vehicle. What a bizarre choice. Fantastic, wasn't it?
Christopher, what was your top five?
My number five was... I'm not sure. I'm wondering where this features, Mercer, if it comes in the top five at all. Hostile Dimensions, was my number five.
I wouldn't know.
Why would you not know, Faye?
Because I did. I performed the ultimate sacrifice and gave my loving husband the ticket that I got because I knew he wanted to watch it. And that was his top film for the weekend. Didn't even put it as number one, motherfucker. Dre this grave. Didn't even put it as number one. So I gave him the ticket out of the goodness of my heart. So I never saw Hostile Dimensions. And I couldn't even see the second one because it was up against Fuckboy. So I missed out.
You desperately, desperately wanted to see it so much that you bought a ticket for Good Boy, but you didn't buy a ticket for Hostile Dimensions.
They sold out in no time.
Don't play
stuck on that, bitch!
You want to screening?
Yeah, the screening that didn't clash with the screening didn't clash with Good Boy sold out immediately.
Fair. There was like at least 20 seats in the
auditorium.
They're
not. They took them out. I asked about it. They'd taken them out.
They were empty. I was in the cinema. You weren't there. What do you know? You'll tell me if it was empty or not.
They said that we couldn't go in because if people had tickets and they turned up, they'd had it where they had to turf people out because people with tickets had shown up, so they wouldn't let anybody in.
Oh, wow. That is an annoyance. They should have had a cut off. Should have been like, look, if you're not, you know what time the film starts. And to be fair, let's face it, not one of them started on time the entire weekend. So you know what time the film starts. If you're not there 10, 15 minutes after the film scheduled to start, then you don't get in. You forfeit your right to admittance. Same way you would a theatre. If you turned them after curtain, they've got the right to go, no, we're not allowing you in.
But it is what it is, and you got to see it, and I didn't. That's all.
Anyway, so Hostile Dimensions, as you say, Graham Hughes' new one of the absolutely stunning, amazing My Fright Fest film of the year, the other year, Death of a Vlogger. So it was up against a ridiculously high bar because Death of a Vlogger is like releasing Appetite for Destruction as your first film. So it's going to be something just ridiculously amazing to beat that.
Do you think Mercer knows that reference?
I'm sure Mercer does.
Do you know what Appetite of Destruction is?
Appetite for.
Appetite for Destruction.
It's the first Guns N' Roses album. And their creative peak on the first album, so you can't go any higher than that. But anyway, so essentially, simple enough, we have two documentary filmmakers. They're investigating the case of a graffiti artist who has gone missing through this random door found on not construction site, an abandoned building. And the door is a gateway to a whole series of alternate dimensions that they venture their way through and in search of this lost graffiti artist. To be honest, the plot plays second fiddle for this. It sounds really harsh because I love Graham's work. I don't want to sound like the plot didn't matter as much, but this seems like more an exercise in showing what he can do with zero budget on a creativity scale.
Are you talking visually?
Yes. And because I say, obviously Death of a Vlogger, the whole story around the whole internet fame and that portrayal and those lies and everything that happens after that, that's quite a complex story to be telling across a film. Whereas this is graffiti artist goes missing. They walk through a load of other random dimensions to try to find it.
Okay.
So it's far more on the visual front of what he can do with no budget and how good he is at making these insanely interesting worlds. It's one of those things where he's a man who's crying out for someone to give him $1 million and go, look, there you go. There's a big budget. Go and show you what you can do with it.
Benson and Moorhead situation.
Yeah, because God knows what he'd do with a massive budget. I can't even begin to envision what kind of work he'd grab. I imagine it would be amazing if he had that kind of budget behind him. But as I say, performances are really good. I say the worlds are really good. I say it's just the story's a lot thinner than Death of a Vlogger. But I know Mercer wants to try because I know Mercer prefers Hostile Dimensions than Death of a Vlogger.
I mean, stop stealing my thunderous like statements from me, Chris. Jesus. Actually, yes, I will say. You know, we did Death of a Vlog on an episode, and I did everything I possibly could to be as polite as possible about that film. Now I'm going to hold my hands up. Do not like Death of a Vlogger. I think I didn't like anything about it at all. Hostile Dimensions, on the other hand, is fucking fantastic. Like, I love the worlds it created. I also love the fact that, yes, with the budget limitations, sometimes like the things that we see in the worlds look a bit, let's say cheap, but also they work really well within the world. So he's like everything he created, like encompasses everything that he had available to him. And also, I think the story is quite nice. You know, there's that questioning your own kind of self and where do I fit in? Where do I belong? And we get to see something like that in the film. I think it's got a lot of substance. I think it's fantastic. I loved it.
That's fair enough. I was not as enamored. I don't feel the plot is as deep as you do.
I will look forward to seeing it.
Well, I mean, I will just clear this up right now for you both. Hostile Dimensions is my number four in my top five this year.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. First crossover. I say it's really good. I'm always going to be under the influence of the fact that Death of a Vlogger came first, and I adore that movie more than anything.
It wasn't my top four, obviously. I'll make mine brief because I don't know who fell asleep during this. Because for some reason, Fright Fest this year, there was a lot of sleeping. I don't know if it was the temperature or we're all just old.
I saw someone on the Fright Fest Facebook page complaining about someone falling asleep. And they're like, oh, they fell asleep in each of the films they were snoring. They're like, oh, honestly, they should have to leave.
Listen, we're old. Like, you nod sometimes, it can't be helped. You've been working the whole year, and then you finally get to settle down and rest, and that's it. Your body just relaxes.
There's
And
like a really complex explanation to about the level of CO2. And
yeah.
when you got that many people, it's like the normal level of CO2 is like 200 or whatever it is, and then you start passing out around 800 or something, and it's like over 1,000 level CO2 in that kind of crowd.
That's mental.
Yes, we're not falling asleep, we're passing out. Very different.
But yeah, anyway, so I don't know who fell asleep in it, but my number four choice was Home Sweet Home, where evil is it where evil lives? Is that the
Yes, where
subtitle?
he will live. The
Yeah.
German one
Yes.
shot.
Basically this pregnant lady is renovating this house with her partner. I assume the father's given them, or that's what you assume when you watch it. And it's all done in one shot, which is really impressive. And it's her in the later stages of the pregnancy going into the house and finding all this weird stuff happening, seeing things in the cellar move. And I don't want to really go into any of it because it plays out brilliantly. And just check that one out because it's absolutely fantastic.
I will admit I did fall asleep because it was on the Monday, weren't it?
It's very much a film you would like as well.
Yeah,
That's the thing.
that's the thing. I was really frustrated. The bits I saw, I was really enjoying, and then unfortunately I dozed off because the CO2 in there was trying to kill me, clearly. So it's one of those things. But yeah, the bits I saw were good. The ending seemed.
I
I'm
really enjoyed the ending.
It's one I will definitely go and watch when it gets a release.
I think the thing as well is because it's all done in one shot, it does make it super impressive when you see the camera trickery and how they insert things into there and how they move things around. It's done brilliantly. Yeah.
I saw something else, so I literally can pass no judgment on this film whatsoever.
It's really good. You should watch it.
I think Mercer wouldn't like it.
Do you not?
No.
I think you would. He's got a hard on for foreign films, so.
I think you find it the one shot bit and the jump and the scares too gimmicky.
Well, he can watch it and
We'll
then make
see.
his
We'll
own
let yeah,
judgment,
let's know.
can't you?
Think of Silent House, though. That kind of like I didn't really get on board with that one shot gimmicky. kind of film. So from years and years ago, Silent House, the Spanish one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I
I
remember.
imagine it's that then.
Is that
So
2014?
2001. I don't know. It was 2000 and something. It was a Halloween one anyway, on the Tabby
Okay.
B. So.
Okay, so that was phase four. Mercer's number four, we already know, was Hostile Dimensions. So we'll skip his fourth choice now. And so it leaves me number four. Well, number four, I can't remember whether everyone was in here for this in the main screen. Where the Devil Roams.
Sadly wasn't.
Mercer, were you?
I was, yes.
Yes. Good. It was from the Addams family, who you may know from doing the Deeper You Dig and Hellbender.
Love Hellbender.
So essentially, this one is set during Depression, as miserable a time as most of their films have done often are. And it's just they're a group of sideshow performers who are traveling around with this car on the dying carnival circuit and also killing people as they go along.
Very popular as a room.
Yeah, it's not an immediate, it's if you're going into it for an immediate hit, I think you're going to be very, very mistaken and not what you're looking for. Because I mean, the running time is only like 90 minutes, but it feels about 2 hours or so. It feels a long running time, and most times you go, that's a huge negative, but it's not for this. It's just its own lazy, drawn out world building piece that's really odd. It's really measured. It's really a character piece rather than a straight up horror or killing spree. It's not normally always my kind of thing, although I love the Deeper You Dig. But it's just really kind of an odd film. Mercer, can you, I find it hard to articulate why I love it so much.
I can't really
No, you
comment.
know, okay.
It's really nice to look at. It's visually, it's very stunning. I found myself a little bit confused. I know Chris just said it's set in the Depression era. I was like, I have no idea when this is set because some of it's felt like, carnival sideshow 30s era, but then sometimes I looked at it, I thought it just looks modern.
It does
I
look
was like,
shy. It looks really shiny.
yeah. But even like the buildings look like they've got double glazed windows. And I'm like, I just can't work out where this is set, like what period it was set in. And I had no idea why they were doing what they were doing. I literally had no idea what was happening. Again, it looks beautiful. My only, so I like this family. And I think they do great work, but I think quite often, the two films that I have seen, so I haven't seen the Deep You Dig, but like Hellbinder and this one, they almost feel like it's an extended music video. Like they always have like one of their songs in there and they're singing and there's like a music video element to it. And it kind of puts me off a little bit because I stopped watching it as a film and thinking about it as being like, like when they make music videos and then they cut in between and have like a little acting scene and then they go back into a music video. It almost feels like that to me.
But isn't that just because they are like insanely talented and they do everything themselves, like
The
everything?
deeper you dig isn't like you'd probably really re I think that when you get around the watching the
I
deeper you
don't
dig.
think I've watched the DP
It
dig.
played Fright Fest on one of the Discovery screens a couple of
No, I
years
don't think I've
ago.
watched it.
It's really I think, yeah, I think Mercer, I think when you see that one, that'll be far and away your favorite of their work.
Probably again, I'm not criticizing them at all. I do think they are insanely talented. And like I said, I think the music's fantastic. The music in the film's fantastic visually to look at. Specifically this one, Castle Vision, really good. I just didn't know what was happening.
It's just like this weird kind of this southern gothic road movie kind of. But it's really,
I think it's just that when you can't be pigeonholed.
Yeah, I find it really hard to articulate why I enjoyed it so much, because it's not always my kind of bag. But so, yeah,
sometimes really you just do. Like I keep going back to Men. And I wasn't that enamoured with Men when I first watched it, but I find myself going back the film. The film. Yeah, sometimes you just can't explain these things. They just are. Yes. Anyway, number three. I'm hoping we've all got a say. I don't know if we will have a say in one. I don't know if you've seen it, Mercer. I think you have. But Lucky McKee's Weird Kids.
Oh, loved Weird
so
Kids.
So good.
It was my number two.
Oh, there you go. Mercer, was it on your list?
I didn't see it.
Oh, okay. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. It's just like a proper throwback to Mike Judge. Comic shows of the 90s, like Daria and Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill and all that kind of stuff. It's rude in places, but that kind of naughty rude that you had in the 90s, where there's big jugs knocking about
yeah,
and stuff. And
it's not
offensive.
It's not South
it's
Park.
Just a laugh.
It's not South Park satire.
No.
Offensive. It's like proper. It's like Beavis and Butthead kind of.
It is literally what you were watching on MTV back in 90s. Like, not late night MTV, but evening MTV.
Yeah.
And it's got a really nice story behind it, and it ends up being completely wholesome, like, at the end of it,
yeah.
I think.
Essentially, just for the plot, so these four friends go on a camping trip with one of their older brothers and his missus, who is along as well. And they encounter everything they encounter.
Well, they get told this tale in this garage of this ant creature,
this giant killer creature,
this giant killer ant, and like, yeah, whatever. And then and the whole purpose of them got, well, their goal whilst the camping is basically just to see a pair of tits. We need to see these tits, but it goes off in another direction, and oh, it's brilliant. Loved it.
It's like coming of age film meets
yeah.
monster movie meets early 90s MTV.
It's great. It's fantastic. And he's got Angela Bettis in it as well.
The thing
just sounds like I might enjoy. It reminds me of just the way you're explaining it. That film that we saw at Soho.
Yes.
Attack of the Bat
Monsters. No. The not the cartoon film, but the film with the werewolf and the zombie and the
Shaky
the
Shivers.
Shaky Shivers. Yeah.
Oh yes, Shaky Shivers.
Kinda.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Yeah,
yeah.
It's not. Yeah, I wouldn't pair it as closely with that. But it's a lot. Yeah, it's really, it's a lot of fun. I'm hoping that with Celluloid Scream showing a lot of Lucky McKee's work and stuff he's been associated with, and the fact that it's not been announced for, as far as I'm aware, either Mayhem or Grimfest, that I'm hoping it might well be added.
It would be good if it did, because I'd love to see it again. It were really good. Loved it. Mercer, what was your top three?
My number three this year was the directorial debut from Michel Doutre. It Lives Inside.
Ah, awesome film.
Yes.
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 So basically just the story of some... I like it because it's the story of like an Indian girl who's trying to kind of like fit in into the American culture and lifestyle. You know, she's shortened the name from like Samida to Sam because it's easier that way. And she had a best friend who was also Indian, and they separated, but. So it's almost it's about friendship, and it's about integration, and it's about you know, different religious icons and demons and stuff like that coming together into this world, and Sam having to step up and actually, you know, kind of embrace who she is as
I,
as. A...
I, I'll tell you what I thought about It Lives Inside as well was in my head from what I was seeing visually and the style that it was done in, it reminded me a lot of the Candyman remake, especially like the bathroom scene, these kind of teenagers, like it had that same kind of vibe, that same kind of sheen to it, which obviously Candyman is, touching upon cultural references as well. So I thought that were kind of interesting that it had that. And it's very Hollywood. It seemed a very Hollywood film.
Very major studio look,
Yeah.
isn't it?
Well, I mean, it did and it didn't. I don't know. I like it. Just it's very polished. You can't get away with that. I think it had some really cool moments in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was thoroughly entertained throughout. I do really like Megan Suri, who played Sam. So she's in a, I don't know if anyone's ever seen the Netflix series Never Have I Ever, but she's one of the recurring characters in that as well. I think she's really a talented actress who probably should be doing a lot more than she is. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. It had some nice jump scares in it, had some really cool effects in it. It had a really pissed off meat-eating demon that weren't impressed with a vegan buffet that was thrown its way. It's like, no.
I think that was my favorite part of it. I think that it's rare. Yeah,
Laughing at vegans.
it's rare. It's rare a director states their completely anti-vegan campaign in a single film. But
Well, demons like their meat, and blessed probably the wrong word for a demon. I don't know what you don't bless a demon. That's to extinct it, to kind of speak. The words that one would normally. But no, I really enjoyed it. I think for me, it's my number three, probably because, and I'm not like bitter or anything, but I kind of wish that it would have ended, maybe like ended, rather than giving us this kind of like extended ending sequence, which I don't think we needed as an audience.
That seems to be a just recurrent. The recurring theme, which too many film now, it's just modern
Too many
affliction.
books.
I want to see, as a complete aside, the Glenorama tapes. Is it called the Glenorama
Glenorama
tapes?
tapes.
Yes, which is really, really good, but it has about 13 endings, and you just want to grab hold of the director and go, look, which one did you like originally, and just use that one and just stick with that one. Oh God, it's frustrating because it's really good, and it went from being what could have been a very very good film to just good by not sticking the landing.
What was your number three, Chris?
I've not had my number three yet.
You haven't?
No, my number three. I'm not sure if anyone has this. I don't think now that we're getting near the top spot, I don't think anyone would have this. Mine was Monolith.
Brilliant film.
At number three, the Lily Sullivan, even
Yeah.
misspeak, Lily Sullivan from the Evil Dead Rise.
I was very afraid that Monolith was going to be like the film we saw at Soho, which I didn't vibe with,
The ASMR one.
ASMR one. Yeah, sorry, Mercer, it wasn't one of my favorite. I don't like ASMR. I cannot stand it. It physically goes through me. I hate it when they do this, or when someone eats something and there's noises. I cannot be dealing with that shit.
See, you're on about the one with the guy trying to find a cure for it. That's like one of my favorite films I've ever seen
I
at Soho.
know, I know. That's why I apologize, but I can't vibe with it, mate. I can't vibe with that sort of thing. I'm so
But
sorry.
that's cool.
Considering, I say, because she's the only one on screen for the entire runtime, and she's just absolutely magnificent. Not at any single point do you get bored watching her on screen. She plays this. Not disgraced journalist, because she's clearly not disgraced enough, because a lot of people have her back and have seen the thing that she's done the right thing anyway. So,
Potentially cancelled
yeah,
journalists.
journalist who is having to scratch out a living with this, what she clearly feels is below her bog standard weird investigations kind of podcast that she's taken a while to get going with, to be fair, because a content creator is hassling her over actually getting some content created when she stumbles upon the story of this brick being found and the curse and everything that runs from it.
Like people all over again, that she finds all these people that have received this brick.
As we run into a whole gamut of conspiracy and alien and truth and untruths, and just this whole web spinning out that doesn't stop twisting and turning the entire way through. And I was never less than thoroughly entertained by the entire runtime.
I thought that final act as well was fantastic.
She's just so good to watch. I could watch if she had any other film where she goes, I'm just gonna spend an hour and a half on screen doing it. It's another podcast, twisty turny thrill. I go, yeah, I'm completely there for that. Adored it. Mercer.
I liked it. No, I did really, really like it. For me, it's one of the films that I would actually rather not sit with a crowd and watch. I'd rather be just on my own, fully focused, just watching it, and like so that I can just get immersed in the world. And especially with her as well, because like you said, I think to carry a film pretty much single-handedly is a massive ask of any profession, any actor, actress out there. To be able to do that and keep an audience entertained. And the fact that, you know, she does that so well is great. But I was kind of distracted by too many people around me.
Okay.
Also, I fell asleep.
Because of the carbon monoxide levels.
Carbon monoxide. I passed out a little because people were stealing my air.
It's mental, that theory, though,
just,
isn't it?
I just like to point out, I was having a look during a gap, not the peek behind the curtain for people as we were waiting to record another section, and I did find a peer reviewed science paper on it. So yes, it is very much a true thing.
There you go. Right, have we done Mercer's number three? Did we just do that? Right, number two, edging ever closer to number one.
Indeed.
If you're into that sort of thing. Hey. Mercer looking like you don't get what I've just said. Jesus Christ. Number two, for moi, was the opening film of the festival, Suitable Flesh. What a grimy little ride that was. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thought it was fantastic. It was everyone being batshit crazy. Not seen Heather Graham in so long, and it was lovely to see her. How do you describe Suitable Flesh without ruining it?
Like a
body jumping.
Yeah, it's like if Freaky Friday met 80s-90s erotic thrillers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's fucking great. It's fantastic. It's funny. It's sexy. Like I say, it's manic as anything. And I love that everyone who's on screen just seems to be having the best time doing what they're doing.
It's fun. I think I definitely got like a Showgirls, Elizabeth Berkley vibe. Not from Heather Graham, but not all the time, but when she was like doing her 90s erotic seduction moments, it did feel very much like, you know, I expected like proper convulsing sex scenes and stuff like.
Oh, she was going for it at one point. Like, that bounce is pure cardio.
But no, it was good. I enjoyed it. I think this is one of them. I think this is it suffered from the way it was presented to us as like this kind of reanimate or body horror. I keep forgetting the words. You know what I mean, though. Stuart Gordon, like this Stuart Gordon.
Lovecraftian, kind of.
Lovecraftian.
I mean, it is a Lovecraft story. It is.
Yeah, it is. But when you think of how they've been presented on screen, they're definitely not as tame as that one were. When it comes to body horror, there was only really one element of body horror.
I'm not having to go into it because I really enjoyed it. But I know what you mean. Because if you say it's from the team behind Reanimator and From Beyond, you expect far more squishy body horror kind of stuff than you get.
I like liked the story more than anything. I thought it was really interesting. I mean, at one point, I didn't know what was going on. I think I looked away for a second, and then I looked back, and she was with what appeared to be like a 12-year-old. I think I'd see that kid from The Babysitter.
Yes.
He's probably of age now, but he always looks about 12 to me, and I'm like, what is Heather Graham doing with a child? What is going on here? But no, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Maybe I don't like the squishier stuff. Maybe that's what it is.
Again, I think what you said, Chris, it was a good film. I enjoyed the film. It just felt like what you said earlier, for expectation versus reality is the fault of myself, not the people who made the film.
Not but fair.
My expectation, based on just how it was sold to us, not by, like, not even by Joe Lynch himself on his big screen introduction, they really did push this kind of, you know, Stuart Gordon Reanimate vibe. And I get it had the campness of that.
I think as well, you've got to remember the ending. The ending is very, very gory and squishy.
But that's what I mean. There was only that one moment. But it was a good film. I did enjoy it.
It's not in a top five film. That's fair. For me, it's my number two.
Be fair. Considering we've had The Lair and the other one that opened
Demonic.
That...
Didn't Wicker Tree open one year as well?
No.
Oh, that awful one. Is it Sting, Wasp or something?
Stung? No, that would close it. Oh, Crabs.
What was the one where she said, I'm pregnant and I'm 13 or something like that? Oh my gosh, what was that film?
Oh, Cherry Tree.
Cherry Tree.
Cherry Tree. Oh, that were great. That were great.
So yeah, so on the scale of opening night films.
Yeah, anyway, it was a brilliant opening night film.
Weighs highly.
Yeah.
So your number two was... Oh, sorry, Mercy. Yes, your number two, isn't it?
So that's Faye's number two, and your number two were Weird Kids, weren't
it? It was, yes.
So what's your number two?
My number two was the closing film of the festival, Jen Wexler's The Sacrifice Games.
Okay.
Which I had no expectations of going in. It's basically a bunch of people wanting to raise a demon. And that's their story. And then there's an all-girls school where a couple of girls are having to stay over the Christmas period, and then their two worlds collide, and then it goes batshit crazy.
Full disclosure, I felt sick during this last film, like really ill, so I had to get out of there. But I watched 3/4 of it, and I really enjoyed what I saw.
I thought, I enjoyed it. It was like a film of two halves, standardly. It had the opening sequence, to me, was just the brutality within the first kill. I was like, I am totally on board for this, because I have needed brutal murders, and I ain't had none yet. Like, I need, like, proper brutal. I'm like, this is it. Thank God for that final film of the festival, some actual violence. I'm sure there was other violence elsewhere, but nothing that really, like, took me aback like that did, that opening moment. And then it's a film that you don't want to ruin, because it has, like, a lovely journey. You're on a nice, lovely journey. I will say, though, anyone who loved the dance sequence in Megan, you need to watch this film, because there is a dance sequence which is going to blow your fucking mind.
Is that close to the end?
Yeah.
Oh, I've not seen that then.
Yeah, it's absolutely fucking, it's so genius. It's so beautiful. It's so well done. And it's, I mean, other than my number one film, that moment, and this is what I was saying about the thing. In this film, there were a couple of wow moments, but overall it weren't like total wow. But like these moments, like, proper made that film. And the dance sequence, honestly, I've never, like, giddily kind of like been, woo-hoo-hoo! I'll tell you what did happen, though, which was terrible. We got maybe halfway through the film, maybe even like more, maybe 20 minutes away from the end, and it stopped.
Oh, did that happen to you as well? I thought that was just the critic screen that that happened to.
Well, stopped mid-film, and we had to wait, and they had to reboot. It took quite a while, and I felt really, I was quite sad because people were leaving. Obviously, central London, it was already running late. People need to get chewed. People were going home. I'm like, oh, this is so bad for the film makers themselves. To the point where I almost left because I was like, oh, this is just taking too long now. But I'm also lazy, and I thought, oh, I'm not ready to move yet. Like, I need to sit a little bit longer. But yeah, that my number two film is Jen Wexler's The Sacrifice Games, and I really hope it's going to be on Shudder. There we go. We all know it. It's a Shudder release.
Yeah.
So wait for it to get on Shudder, and I can't wait for people to watch it. And awesome. Yeah, come at me if you don't like it, and come at me if you don't like that dance sequence. But I'm telling you all now, you're going to love it.
Say Shudder will be one of the two films released this year on Shudder.
But no shade, no shade. All the shade. All the fucking shade. That brings us, gentlemen, to the number one picks, our films of the festival.
I think you and Mercy have gone for the same film if you've watched it.
I don't remember you being there.
Yes, we've gone for the same film, Fair.
Yes, because you said, I'm going to go in and watch it. Right, so before we get to his number one spot, there was a rumour of sorts that something was going to be, not a rumour, but we didn't know what was going to be shown in the main screen before a film. And we really wanted to catch it. And as we were stood in the line for said number one, me and Mitch Harrod were talking about it. And he said, oh, it could be either something from the new Exorcist film or something from Saw X. And obviously my gusset flushed. And I was like, if it's something to do with Saw X, I need to see this. So we bombed it to the main screen. And it was a preview of Saw X, which was my highlight of the weekend. I have not been so giddy like that in years, honestly. Sorry, Chris. I'm only joking. No, but I was massively overjoyed at seeing that. And then luckily, by the time we got back to the screening of said number one film, it hadn't started yet. Hey! So didn't miss anything, which was beautiful. So my number one spot is Dr. Jekyll. Incredible film.
So I was just going to sit back and just allow you immerse in it.
Dr. Jekyll is what you think it is. It's a retelling of Jekyll and Hyde, done in a very modern setting with Eddie / Susie Izard as Nina, if I get this right, Nina Jekyll? Is it Nina Jekyll or Nina Hyde?
It's Nina.
Well, it's Nina. She plays Nina. And then, I've not been... I don't want to sound like a pretentious fuck when I drone on about this film, but I will, because I can't stop shouting at anyone who'll listen just how gorgeously this film was written. Like, I've not seen a script just flow so beautifully in years. And I was taken aback by it. It was joyous. It was funny. It was touching, and you know, Susie was just incredible. Absolutely loved everything about her in this film, the way she was portraying herself, the way she, I mean, again, because obviously background in comedy, you know, being a comedian, when you get to like towards the end, that comes to the surface, and it's after so much what seems like restraint. It's a relief. That is not what you come for. You don't come for Susie's performance, obviously, you know, looking for a stand-up, if that makes sense. But yeah, when it happens, it's just joyous.
I think what else was fantastic about it is, yes, Susie is incredible. And it would have been, or could have been, very easy for Susie to just outshine the rest of the cast.
Yes.
But she doesn't. I think the cast are all equally as entertaining and interesting to watch. I think Scott Chambers is fantastic.
He was brilliant.
Rob. Yeah. So he plays like the person who goes to work for Dr. Nina Jekyll, not Rachel Hyde. But he does encounter both. And I love the confusion. But do you know Crispin Glover?
Mm-hmm.
He, like, he reminds me of like Crispin Glover, like the way he acts, especially towards the end of the film. I think it's also great that, you know, it's the first new release for Hammer. And I think it really does set the bar quite high.
If this is the caliber of remake Hammer films that we're getting, I'm very excited.
Yes,
because
definitely.
It was just fantastic.
It was really, really good. Everyone was fantastic. I love the cheeky behind the scenes gossip we got. We'll not share because it's rude, but let's just say scripts might not have always been stuck to. Yes. And there were times when you were watching the film, I'm not going to lie, I don't know about you, but there were times when I was watching the film and I was like, there's no way. Yeah. Susie's just saying that. She's just saying it. But it was great. I think it was so well done.
Absolutely.
And it's my number one, FYI, just in case someone realised. Yes, it is my number one. It was my number one at the festival. Cannot wait to see it again. Cannot wait to see it with that, like, Hammer logo over its opening credits, which it is just going to add, like, to it for me.
The reason it's cemented as my number one as well is because no film that weekend made me feel like that film did. It did something, and it was incredible. Yeah.
It was great. Now I want to know how great Chris's number one is.
We will find out. You will all know.
So you're going to wait till next week? You'll find out next week.
No, you will find out now. So, my number one. Sounds dumb in comparison to yours and Mercer's. Now, with the high praise you're throwing upon Dr. Jekyll. I was listening. I didn't know the name of it. But you know what? Sometimes all you want is something creepy, but fun and slickly made and well acted. And that is why Cobweb is my number one pick for the festival. Mercer looks genuinely confused / annoyed about the pick Cobweb as my film of the weekend.
I think it's because like Cobwebs feels so commercial that
what a gatekeeping statement to make.
No, I mean like I don't know, it does seem pretty I mean I enjoyed it. I had a really good time with Cobweb, but all not.
See that's the thing. I think in a year that was very good. It was one that I genuinely loved the whole way through. And the fact it might be because it had a slick teamwork on it. It was that well produced and executed, and they knew exactly what they were doing with it that made it so enjoyable the whole way through.
Come on, give us a plot.
Okay, so we'll give you a plot. So we have Woody Norman, plays Peter. He is... Sorry, the dog is just making weird noises. I'm not sure he's impressed with my pick either. He lives with his parents, Lizzie Kaplan, Auntie Star, and he hears a knocking on the wall in his bedroom. And then he hears a voice. And I won't go much further than that without spoiling exactly how this film plays out as the paranoia of what is in the wall and the kind of thrill ride that we get from here. I say it's one of those films I don't want to spoil. It's always hard when you do festival films, although now Cobweb's got a release, but I imagine there's a lot of people who still haven't managed to catch it yet, so I don't want to go full spoiler on it.
The dad in this film scares the shit out of me, just his face. He properly scares me. Like, it could snap at any minute. And I've been told by people, because I've not seen him in anything else, but I've been told by other people that apparently in The Boys, he's like a really, really bad baddie in that, which makes absolute sense, because I think he looks terrifying in this.
And Lizzie Kaplan does a quality performance. That just that kind of slightly panicky parent, something not quite right. Mother.
She's got a very, I don't know, she's got a weird vibe going on in this film. I like it.
She's got the same kind of Heather Graham, Barbara Crampton, like in Suitable Flesh. Like, the performance is just slightly amped up to camp. Whereas I think in this particular Cobweb, which is bizarre because Cobweb is quite camp and it does go balls out. But I don't know, there's something about Lizzie Caplan's performance in it that really put me off almost from the get-go. Like it felt odd and out of place in the film. Maybe it fits better later on in the film. But it just felt odd and out of place for me. And I think it's a standard kind of theme with the fact that Cobweb is really well made. It has some really cool moments in it. The other performances I think are pretty great.
Like we said as well at the time, it's very much got that malignant feel about it, and that's very much what it's going for. We did say that, didn't we?
Spoiler.
No, it's not the exact same ending as Malignant. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's got that vibe to it. It's very much trying to recreate the hype that was around Malignant, I think. But again, it's nothing like Malignant in terms of story or ending or anything. Just has that feel.
Yeah, it has got. And I think we'll get a lot of this kind of style of thing pumped out over the next few years with it being quite commercially viable, to be honest. And that's fine. It'll be like any trope where they get tried out and the quality will drop as we go along and they keep getting made by more and more people. But while we're at the beginning of this wave and the quality's high, I'm happy to be riding.
I've not seen Cobweb. I think it's a good film. I really do.
And one of my favorite audience moments of the weekend. We won't say the scene as again in case anyone hasn't seen it. But there's just a domino effect, domino ripple of people around who suddenly realize. Yeah. And there's one. I'm not trying to remember anything for saying. I spotted it straight away. But there was one person where the scene pretty much ended about 20 minutes ago. Suddenly went.
I was also that person. It took me. I don't know why. Maybe because it felt really commercial. I just didn't go. Oh, right, yeah, of course. I mean, once you clock, you're like, oh, you fucking dickhead, how did you not know that?
When that thing was first introduced in that earlier scene, in my head I went, well, let's see if that makes its way back into the story in the future, shall we? And guess what? Did. Yeah. Absolutely did. Yeah.
And just say as well, I know that we are number one in Cobweb, but you talked about the beautiful moment ripple effect. Can I just say, my actual probably favourite moment was the applause that happened after the opening sequence in Piper, which really should not have gotten applause, but for some reason it did. So, and that's, I'm not going to spoil anything for anyone. Now you really need to see Piper.
That's Liz Hurley's friends there in audience. Setting stuff off.
You just need
it's
to.
It's weird, yeah. It's an odd thing to have a whole audience applaud to.
Yes. So now everyone has to find Piper, seek it out, tweet about it, tweet the person who directed it, tweet the.
Was it you, Mercer?
It was me. I wrote it. I directed. There was a guy who did Mute Witness, whose name eludes me right now. Anthony Waller. Everyone tweet Anthony Waller and be like, how do we get this film all over everywhere so that we can watch this whole sequence that Mercer has so lovingly jizzed about on the I Spit on Your Grave podcast?
No one in the stale fight, but Mercer, did you save the whole closing credits?
I did, yes. Yes, I did.
It's another thing that I don't want to spoil anything, and I hope they don't get cut from the release.
Is Liz Hurley dressed up as the Pied Piper?
No. But there is some definite gatekeeping moments going on in that film with Liz Hurley and her daughter, with a lot of shrugging and like mouth up and kind of, I don't know what she's talking about, to police officers. It's incredible. Oh my God, I want to watch it again now.
I do. I was trying to find it. I can't find it anywhere. I'm not sure
It'll come,
what
it'll come.
time, when the release is.
I'm just gonna flip it around. I think Piper's my number one for the festival.
No.
Oh God, I want it. I want it so badly inside me.
Yeah, that was Fright Fest 2023 top five. Obviously, you can go on their website and look at the array of films they had showing over the weekend, because I cannot remember how many there were, but there were a lot.
Same
I
was feed films.
lovely retro films thrown in there as well with Exorcist. Not It Follows for us,
No.
obviously, but an Alligator was a surprise hit. I had a lot of fun with
And
Alligator.
the Conjuring with more security than there were people.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. But yeah. Yeah.
I've just news breaking news. Beep 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 beep. Piper has a general release on the 16th of October.
There you go.
Everyone cancel. If you're going to celluloid, cancel Soho, cancel everything and get your tickets booked for Piper. Don't cancel other festivals. I don't mean that because that's terrible. But do book tickets for Piper. Oh, I'm gonna take people to, I'm gonna shut up about it now. I don't know why I'm so excited about it. I don't know why I'm so excited about it. I'm gonna get some serious hate after this, by the way.
You probably will.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. It's just so stupid. It's just
It's
it's
okay.
just so yeah, we'll go
Yeah,
watch, we'll find it, we'll go
yeah.
watch it, yeah.
So,
Done.
in
Are you?
terms of spit grade news, you might have noticed that we haven't been around that much recently, and that's because we hate to say it, but we've fallen out with Mercer. We just can't stand him anymore. And creative differences, him being a massive dickhead and us not being dickheads, is just won't work in, was
That's
it?
the rumor. That's what
That's
I've
the rumor.
heard.
So the people will say. No, we, as you can imagine, have been running thin on genres to cover, because there is a lot of crossover in terms of what we like and the genres we like and such. So we will be having a rebrand. It is coming. And in the meantime, we will be throwing out some Prime Scene episodes, in a bid to, keep us in your ears, because we haven't been lately, despite me saying every single time we're going to.
But as well, Faye wrote this as a script, everybody. She's reading from a piece of paper right
I
now.
am, yes.
She's not. But I think part of it as well, let's be honest, we're three young adults. We're living this lives with work and such. And you both work shift patterns. I don't. You could be working weekends. I don't. Just making you feel bad about your jobs because I really hate mine.
You want
But no,
to brag about this, mate? But I've got a fan upstairs. Just saying.
wow. But I just think schedule wise, I'm trying to fit like three films in a week, and then get together to talk about it. It's proven more difficult as we've kind of, blossomed and grown and developed more words in our vocabulary.
As this whole episode has proven, we've got better with words.
We are better with words. Words are now our thing. But yeah, we need a rebrand because, people have told us you need to rebrand. Did anyone ever say that?
But no, you are quite right. It is getting, it does get, bizarrely, it's only three films, but it does get time consuming. So yeah, like I say, we are going to have a rebrand. We've already got something in mind. We're just putting the last pieces of it together, so it shouldn't take long. But like I say, in the meantime, we will get some prime scene, some quality prime scene episodes out to you. Because we all know that we find amazing stuff on Prime. Top-notch stuff.
Yeah, so everyone, keep your diaries free from the 20th of August to the 23rd or 4th, because that's when we'll be making our big announcements. And you need to, again, I'm just trying to ruin Celluloid's dreams.
That, I mean, August is next year now. We've passed 20th of August. We're in September.
October, people. Cancel October. Each day we'll be releasing a big announcement. We won't, of course.
It
But no,
won't
we
actually
will.
be big announcements at all, though, will it?
No, it'll just be an episode will just start and people go, oh, this is different. And we'll go, yeah, it is.
Yeah, we like to we're going to read you in gently because that's how we treat our ladies or men.
Or them.
So, or them. Yes, that's what will be happening. Do you two have anything left to say, or can we wrap this up and go about as life now?
I just said, everyone, rest assured,
We're not allowed to talk
me.
about Piper anymore. So.
Gonna say, watch Piper.
No, rest assured, me and Faye have not fallen out.
No.
So everything's good.
If
Oh,
anything,
Chris,
we're closer than
Chris.
ever. We're actually having an affair.
And we're moving in together.
We are a throuple.
Yeah.
I know. But if you want this, you've got to give it to that every so often, you know.
There's something wrong with you. Anyway, let's go. I've got to go to bed. I've got work in the morning, as we all have, I assume.
Yeah,
We do.
we do.
Nearly forgot how to do socials. Socials, follow us on socials. We are at Spit Grays on both Twitter and Instagram. I didn't forget. And we are at Spit Only Grays on Facebook. And should you need to email us for any reason, you can reach us at electricpossums@gmail.com. And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Although saying that with a rebrand, subscribing might be kind of pointless now.
We'll get some. There'll be other ways for
They'll
you
be
to
on the
get in
same feed.
touch. Don't worry.
I imagine it'll be put on the same feed. We
I
haven't
think
looked at the technicalities.
we've done this before. We've only ever been emailed like twice.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of
We
emails.
don't. Nobody gets a lot of emails these days.
Also, I'm still going to be spitting on you two, regardless of what happens. So.
Or drooling, spitting, drooling, whatever. Yeah. Say goodnight, Mercer.
Goodbye.
Say goodnight, Chris.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me.